Hello and welcome to The Marketing Guide with me, your host, Zara O'Mahony. This is the podcast that helps make marketing simple for small business owners and entrepreneurs. Each week we bring you bite-sized actionable tips, strategies and hacks to help grow your business online. If you're ready to do the work and grow your online presence and you want to stand out in a crowded space, then you're in the right place. Now let's get going with today's episode. Enjoy the show. Hello there and welcome to another episode of The Marketing Guide. It's me, your host, Laura O'Mahony. Thank you for joining me on today's episode. I hope you're keeping well wherever you are in the world. Thank you for choosing to listen to this podcast over all the other podcasts that there are out there. On this week's episode, we are going to share with you some different types of content ideas that you can try on social media. So we often go to post on social media and we're like, oh, what can I put out there? What can I post? And it can be a struggle to kind of come up with ideas and a struggle to kind of say, are there different things that I can try that I'm not actually trying? And when you're busy and when you're running your business, social media is a hard thing to sit down and try and do a lot of research and try and, you know, spend hours and hours and see what the latest trends or see what the latest things that are happening on the platform are. So that's why I wanted to give you some different types of posts that you can go and try for your own business and see how they work out for you, and to inspire you and to give you some ideas so that you, the next time that you go to sit down and post or to plan your posts for Instagram or for Facebook or wherever you post, TikTok or any of the platforms, that it will be a little bit easier because you will have some ideas to help you through that. So before we get going with the episode, just a couple of reminders. The first one is to subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes of The Marketing Guide. The second one is to please go leave a review if you haven't had a chance to do so yet. The instructions are on my website, which is lauraomahony.com/review. It's Laura O-M-A-H-O-N-Y. .com/review, and when you pop over there you will see the instructions how to do it on Android and Apple. There's a full kind of video post on how you can go leave the review. It's not actually that complicated. It sounds more complicated or it seems more complicated than what it is, but it actually only takes like literally 2 minutes. So if you do have a couple of minutes today and you would like to leave a review, make sure you leave your name and your business name so that I can give you a shout out on a future episode of the Marketing Guide podcast. And also, if you want to get a copy of my free ebook, which is 30 days of Instagram content ideas, just go to lauraomahony.com. At the very top of the website, you see free ebook. Click on that, put in your name and email, and it will be in your inbox in a matter of moments. So let's get going with today's episode. Let's not get into lots of fluff and lots of talking for 20 minutes like some podcasts do. That really annoys me actually when you listen to a podcast and they take so long to get into the information. That's why I don't do that, or try not to do that most of the time. So I hope I'm not guilty of doing that. And if you are enjoying the podcast and you want to pop me a DM, you can catch me on Instagram at lauraomahony.com or at themarketingguide.co. Either of those, I'm active on both of those accounts. So let's get going with number one, which is to run a content series. So a content series basically means taking a big topic and breaking it down into smaller bite-sized pieces. So imagine that you have a topic that's like in selling on Instagram DMs, and then what you would do is take that topic, break it down into maybe 6 to 8, maybe 10 pieces, and then you would either break that out into reels, or you would do a carousel post, you might do a static post, you might do a video post, you might do a series of stories on it, you might go live on Instagram every Friday and do the series that way. And basically what you're doing is educating people on that particular topic, but you're doing it in small bite-sized pieces. So a content series is really good for getting people to know what you are known for and what you're an authority in your particular niche. So say you are somebody and you're in that coaching space and you're somebody that does money mindset work, you might do a lot of content series that's related to money mindset and just break them down into the small little pieces. And out of those 10 pieces of content or 6 pieces of content, however many you do, then you can decide, right, I've made 6 reels, I'm going to make them into 6 kind of quotes or fake quotes that I'm going to post on Instagram, I'm going to post it on Twitter, and you can just take that information and post it on lots of different platforms in a different format. And it's a really good way of getting lots of different content out there, but you're keeping and you're sticking to those same topics. So you'll remember, if you've been a listener to the podcast for a while, you'll remember I've talked about content pillars, and there's a whole episode on that. You can go back and have a listen to it. So it's basically looking at what are the topics that you want to talk about and what do you want to be known for. And then it's sitting down, say you have maybe 3 to 5 topic ideas. I've listed mine before. Mine is mindset, email marketing, social media, different things like that. So underneath each of those, then you're going to list your ideas. And from there, then you can see which one of these would make a good content series. And then you can see which platform am I going to post it on, or what kind of format do I want to run it on? Do I want to make it a carousel post? Do I want to make it a reel? Do I want to make it a live series? What do I want to do? And then from there, then once you have posted it on one of the platforms, you can take it and break it down for other platforms, or reformat it into, say, maybe a carousel post if you've made it a reel, or into a static post if it's a reel as well. So there's lots of different things that you can do, but a content series, it is a really, really good way of being known for one particular thing. Number two then is to create memes. So you can use memes, and I am a big fan of memes. If you've heard, listened to the podcast before, you'll know I've brought it up several times. I think they're a really good way of getting your own personality and your kind of wittiness and funniness across your audience as well, and share the kind of things that you find funny and that relate back to your audience. So I've talked about memes before and how to kind of put together memes and stuff like that. So it's always relating to a problem that your current audience have. So say back to you're a money mindset coach, you might create a meme that's around, it could be a trending meme, so it could be something from the latest from the Super Bowl, it could be an image from that, and then you could use the words that are something like, when you think that you are keeping track of your money but you realize you're not, something along the lines that that's a problem that your audience have and that they will relate to and that they will find funny as well. I think memes are a really good way of making that connection, but they're highly shareable as well, so they get out to your audience because people will share them and they'll see it, they'll resonate with it, and they'll want to share it with other people. So they get shared a lot in stories. If it's a meme as well, you'll probably get lots of comments on it. So you might have a call to action at the end of it, like drop a heart emoji if you can relate to this, or whatever it is at the end of your meme. They're definitely a really good way of getting kind of across to your audience in a funny and a witty way. So on memes as well, it doesn't necessarily have to be a static image. You can use GIFs, which are kind of moving images. You can use those. And in Canva, there's a thing called Giphy that you can use to go and find the latest trend in GIFs or the latest trend in memes, that kind of thing. You can create your own memes as well. I have a video, I think, on my at lauramahoney.com page on how you can create a meme. You can create your own memes that just have like me, and then as a label meme, like you have me and then you have my dog at 4 a.m. or something like that, and it's two people hugging or something along the lines of that. But there's loads of different things that you can do with memes. It could actually do a whole episode probably on memes because there's so much in it. Also, you might be really mad at me by this point, because if you call them memes, I know some people refer to them as memes. I've had a client once that said, like, should I create some of those memes? I'm like, that's literally the cutest thing I've ever heard in my life. And I shall refer to them as memes from now on. But yeah, so memes, whatever you call them. I call them memes. I'm sticking with that. But there's lots of different things that you can do. As I said, you can go and create them and put them into a reel. And you can do that really easily in Canva as well. If you go to Canva and you go to reel, and then if you just search, as I said, Giphy, if you find a funny kind of a GIF, you can create that and just put a little bit of text over it. It doesn't have to be complicated. But once it's something that your audience will relate to and they'll laugh at, or they'll, you know, say, God, that's me. Why are you calling me out? That's 100% me. I behave in such and such a way. You know, so once they can relate to it on some level, then it will become shareable and people will want to go and share it as well. Or they will comment on it and share it as well. So it's a really good way of, as I said, communicate with your audience in a funny and witty way. The next thing is user-generated content. I've talked about this several times on the podcast, actually recently. User-generated content is really content that's coming from your audience. So if you have an audience and they are working with you, say you're a service provider and you're a coach, and they share to their story, I've just worked with Jane. Jane is the most fantastic coach ever. I really enjoyed working with her. These are the things that she helped me with. And then all you have to do is go ask that person, is it okay if I share this on my Instagram stories, or is it real, or whatever it may be. Screen record everything as well. If anybody ever mentions your tags you in anything, I screen record everything, or I take a screenshot of it if it's a static post. And I've told one of my clients to do this recently. They were getting tagged in people's stories, but they weren't able to share the stories. And I said, just screen record it, because if they've tagged you in it and they've already given you permission to share it, all you have to do is screen record it, and then you can share it on your own stories, or you can use it as promotion, you can use it as an advertisement as well, or you can use it in, there's lots of different ways, as social proof as well. You can say, look, this is happy people that are, you know, using our service, and this is how they felt at the end of the service, because it's a video explaining all about that. So make sure that you have a hashtag set up for your company or for your business, so that when people are tagging you in stuff, that you are getting a notification as well. But you can also go and follow that hashtag and see what are people tagging me in. If it's static posts or reels or whatever, you can see then all those posts in one place. And make sure to ask people to tag you in the stories as well. So to use your name at, say, lauramahanney.com if they're tagging me in a story. So I get a notification then, and I know that somebody has mentioned me in a story, and I can use that then as user-generated content. So it's a really good way of making that connection with your audience. And I've said this before lots of times in the podcast, but people will take the word off your customers way more than they will take your word. So if you say this product is great and it's really good and I really love using it, and one of your customers comes along and said, this product is great, I really love using it, they are going to trust the customer's word far more than they are yours, because they know they're a customer. They've come and they bought the product and they're a genuine client or a genuine customer. So it's a really good way. As I said, make sure you ask for permission to reshare it on your grid, and make sure you credit the original source as well. So whoever you've taken that video from, you know, tag them in the video as well when you're resharing it, so that they are getting credit for the content that they've created as well. And you might also give them a shout out in your caption, just so that they, you know, feel that they, you appreciate the content that they've created for you as well. Because you might get a lot of big, especially if you're e-commerce and you're selling, say, water bottles or something like that, you could get a big influencer that will share and tag you in something. And that is really, really good marketing. Then you can use that, as I said, in ads and stuff like that. But you need to obviously get their permission first to make sure that's okay. So that is the, is that number two or number three? I always get lost on the content. I think that's number three. Number four then is behind the scenes content. So this is content that I love. I love consuming this type of content. I'm so nosy when it comes to what's going on in other people's businesses, behind the scenes, what's happening for them. And I love that type of content. So I love seeing them, you know, maybe sitting down having a team meeting, and that they're doing like a time lapse video of that, or that they're making their morning coffee, or they're unpacking boxes. It's all the mundane and the boring stuff that you think nobody's going to be interested in this, but you would be so surprised. And especially in reels type of content, or video content, people love to watch and consume that type of content. And it does really, really well on TikTok. I see lots of small businesses that do well with that. So you might have like a photo shoot that's going on in your business. You might be photographing your new products or whatever it might be. Or you might be going getting a personal branding photo shoot done. Say you're a service provider or coach or whatever. You might say, right, I need to get my photos done. I'm going to record the behind the scenes of all this. So it's thinking of you as the content as well. And that's something really important to consider, that when you are performing your day-to-day activities within your job, you are content. So just set up your cameras on a tripod and just record it, and you can use all that content then for maybe just say you're working in a shop and you own a shop, a clothing boutique or whatever it is, and you're behind the counter and you're unboxing or you're packing up an order or whatever it may be. If you record that onto your camera, then what you can do is take that piece of content, so that piece of you, and then you might put a quote over it, and that's a reel. So that's so, so simple. Whereas you didn't really have to do anything. You didn't have to stand and perform in front of the camera. You were just doing your day-to-day tasks. So that's a really important thing to think of when you're creating that behind-the-scenes stuff. Just set up your camera and just record and see what looks good. What can I use? Can I use that as B-roll? That I can use it for, you know, that type of reel that I have me sitting on my computer typing, and I'm going to put a bit of text over it and share some bit of value with my audience. So that is behind the scenes content then as well. So the next one then is account takeovers. So this used to be a really, really popular thing. I think kind of back maybe 3 or 4 years ago, I used to see a lot of people doing this. You'd have an Instagram story takeover. And there was a girl that I followed actually that used to do this weekly. And I really enjoyed it. And it was really kind of good. And it was, she was connecting with their audience and they were connecting with her audience. And they were kind of doing a really good collaboration. And she used to get people in and they would educate the audience on the area that they were an expert in. So they would maybe answer 5 or 6 questions on the Instagram story. Then she would share that to her stories, or they would log into her account and whatever, post it to their stories. I'm not sure how they manage the thing, but the person could just send you the videos of them answering the 5 questions and post it on your stories then, and tag them obviously, and then they can share it on their stories. And it's a really good way of doing that collaboration by something that's often overlooked. I think we all forgot about those kind of, you know, business takeover or account takeovers. We kind of forgot about those, and they used to work really well, and I used to enjoy watching them as well, because it meant that I was being kind of exposed to new people within that niche that I maybe never would have gotten to know otherwise, only for those Instagram story takeovers or account takeovers. So you could do a Reels takeover. There's loads of different things. You can get really, really creative with it. It works really, really well, and it's something I think we should go back with as well. And you could also decide that you might want to partner. Say you're that boutique owner, you might want to partner with a micro influencer, somebody that has less than 5,000 followers or less than 10,000 followers. And you might say, I'm actually going to partner with them. I'm going to get them to create the content for me, and I'm going to pay them their full rate or whatever, or I'm going to agree to do some kind of contra deal with them, whereas they get so much clothing for free if they do the content with you, that kind of thing. So it has to be kind of mutually beneficial as well. You can't just expect someone to come in and to spend all this time recording content for you and do it for free. Content creators need to get paid as well, so that's important side note to kind of think about as well. So the next one then is to go live. So I'm a massive fan of live, and I think it's really, really beneficial. It used to be something that I did consistently, and I did it every week, and I kind of dropped off from doing it because there was so much going on within my business, and my business grew so fast within such a short period of time that I just kind of, it wasn't a priority for me to go on and go live. But if you are a small business owner and you have that, say, hour that you're packing up orders, go live and answer people's questions while you're doing it. So you're still doing the work and you're still getting the job done, but you're able to go and answer people's orders. And I see people all the time, especially on TikTok, doing this. And it's actually become a really, really popular niche on TikTok, is the whole packing orders, or people on live saying, I'm going to place my order now, can you pack my order now while I'm watching live? And what they'll do is they'll have a queue of orders then, and there'll be people ordering that maybe never order because they're curious and they want to see their order getting packed. I see this it's a really, really niche part of TikTok, but it's for those crystals, you know, kind of different healing crystals and different types of crystals. I don't know a massive amount about crystals. If you're a crystal shop, please educate me. Send me a DM on Instagram and let me know all about it. But I see them doing it, and they kind of have this big machine that's like moving all the crystals around, and you get a scoop of crystals. It's kind of like a lucky dip kind of thing. So there's lots of different things that you can do on live, and I've talked about that before, but like, you can do questions and answers, you can do like a countdown to a promotion or something like that. So it might be an hour before your promotion is due to go live, and you might go live to explain what's going to happen on that hour, you know, what percentage on the sale is off. Back to the clothing boutique, if it was me, what I would do is I would have all these sale items maybe on a rack, and I would go through them one by one and say, I have 4 of size 10 in this and 6 of size 18 in it, or whatever it may be, and go through and show the product, because tell rather than sell works all day, every day. So coming on and letting people know about the product and showing them the product, it's a really good way of getting people interested. And I know if I watched it live like that, I'd probably go and order 2 or 3 items, because as opposed to just watching a reel or looking at a reel and seeing it and saying, Oh yeah, you know, I saw that online, but it's not really encouraging me to take action. And then you're on the countdown, you know that the sale is going to go live at 6 o'clock, we'll say. They're on live from 5 until 6. You know it's going to go live at 6 o'clock and it's first come, first serve. You know there's other people on that live and you know that they want those items as well. So it kind of creates that scarcity as well and that FOMO. We talked about scarcity as a marketing tactic before on the podcast as well. And it kind of encourages people to go and take action. So that's what I would do. I would go and live stream. You could also live stream, as I said, questions and answers. If you're that coach and you're somebody that works in money mindset, you might go live and you might do a whole feature on money and how to change your mindset on money, something like that. Or you might do a back to the series, the content series. You could do that as well. So it is a really powerful tool. It is something that I really like to use and something that I find really does work well for businesses. And it's something I suggest to, you know, to my audience to go and do, but also to my clients as well. Okay, so the next one then is video tutorials. So this is a really, really good way. So back to kind of the content series, and I said you might do a tutorial and something and break it down over 10 pieces. But video tutorials are a really, really good way of getting your audience engaged and interested in what you do and what you have. So say you are a skincare expert and you sell skincare products. You might do a video tutorial on a cleanser, a toner and a moisturizer and how they work and what way you should be using them. This will sell the product for you all day long, every day. I've talked about this numerous times in the podcast. I use skincare as an example because I work with a lot of people in the skincare and aesthetics field. But it will sell the product for you far more than saying, here's the 3 products and they're on offer. Showing people how the product works and doing a tutorial and maybe going through and saying, this is how you use the cleanser, this is how you get the most out of it, this is how much you need, this is the type of say bamboo face cloth that you should use to take off the cleanser, you should use warm water as opposed to hot water, you should finish then with, once you're done with your toner, you should splash cold water on your face. That's probably completely wrong because I know nothing about skincare, but I'm just giving it as an example. So doing those little video tutorials, they're far more interesting and they're far more engaging than just saying, here's the products and here's how much they cost. And you can do this with a lot of different things as well. So say you're in the marketing industry and that you want to educate somebody on this type of content that I'm creating right now. So different types of content that you can create for social media. You can go and create a video tutorial for that, how they can create. So I'm telling you what you should create. And then you could go and create the video how you can create. So you could do a content series breaking it down by each of the individual things that we've covered today, like going live and stuff like that. You could do a video series like that. There's lots of different stuff that you can do with video. And even though Instagram have come out and said that they're not prioritizing reels as much as they were and that they're kind of gone back to prioritizing static posts, they can't make up their mind. They don't know. Adam Mosseri doesn't know what he's doing, I don't think. But even though video is still a really good and really engaging way to get, you know, your point across to your audience or your potential customers without having to, you know, like be in their face selling all the time as well. So that is a really good way of creating content, is video tutorials. Okay, so the next type of content that you can try then is how-to content. So this is something that's becoming really, really popular on all the platforms. I see it all the time. It might be how to grow an extra 100 followers this week on Instagram, or it might be how to make more sales on Instagram. How-to content, it definitely is engaging and it's interesting and people want to learn, and people are on that platform. They either want to be educated, they want to be entertained, they want to be inspired or motivated. So it's looking at, in that how-to content, What am I going to do? Am I going to educate them? Am I going to inspire them and motivate them? What am I going to do? It's more than likely you're going to educate them. So it's looking at, what within my business can I educate people around, and what can I provide value around? So you'll hear that saying all the time, provide value. What does it actually mean? It means making content that answers their problems, making content that helps them out in some way. So for me, this is value. Every week I show up in the podcast and I provide value. It's content that helps you out without expectation as well. Because when I come on and I create the podcast episodes, I'm not expecting anything back. I'm not looking for the sale. But more often than not, people will come on and they will want to work with me. I don't even have to ask for that at that point because I'm just out there providing value for them. So it's a really good way of connection with your audience, and it's a really good way of getting them interested in what you have to sell. So how-to content, it's something that you definitely shouldn't overlook and that you should be using as part of your strategy on social media. Okay, so let's move on to the last one then, and that is tips, tricks and hacks. I had to slow down and say that because I had to record that literally three times because I kept messing it up. So tips, tricks and hacks, they're a really, really good way of making content that's interesting for your audience, that's helpful for your audience. And I see on TikTok especially, people are building up massive audiences by using that whole tips, tricks and hacks and how-to content as well. So it's basically just showing your audience what are some hacks that you have, what are some tips that you have, and then just sharing that and breaking it down into, you know, really quick little videos or really quick little posts. So it could be 5 tips for getting more engagement on your Instagram stories. And then that could be a really quick post that you have number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and a static post. Or you could make a reel and you could come on and say, here are 5 tips. As I said, it does work really well for that face to camera kind of content where you are saying, here is 3 tips for such and such a thing that you never knew. Or here are 5 marketing websites that will help you with creating content, that kind of thing. So it's sharing those little hacks and those little tips and those tricks as well. So that is the last one. So that's it for this week's episode. I hope you found it helpful and valuable. If you did, I would love it if you could leave a review, lauraomahony.com/review. The instructions are there and the link to review on Apple and Android are there as well. If you have left a review, just know that I do really appreciate you taking the time to do that because I know it can be, you know, it's one of those things you put off and you're like, oh, I listen to the podcast every week and I never get a chance to leave a review because there's been podcasts that I've been listening to for like 2 years and then I eventually will go leave a review. So I know the pain. I feel the pain. It's one of those things you're just like, ugh, I want to do it, but I don't want to do it. So I know if you have left a review, just know that I do appreciate that. And know that if you tune into the podcast as well, I do appreciate each and every listener and each and every person that comes in every week. And I just hope that you're finding the content helpful and that you find it good. If you are and you want to drop me a DM on Instagram, it's at lauraomahony.com. I always appreciate your voice notes as well and your DMs. And I love getting them. And especially when it's in like a random country that I didn't even know people listen to, because I often don't even check the stats on the podcast. I just put it out every week and just know that it's reaching people in all parts of the world. But I love when I get a random one that's like I'm listening to in just a random country that I'm like, wow, I didn't even know I had listeners there. So thank you, and I do appreciate you, and I just wanted to know that before I leave today. So that's it for me for this week. I hope you have a great week ahead, and I will see you in the next episode.